As Iowa caucus results continue to trickle in, Nevada scrambles to avoid the same fate.
Everything's on the table, and it is possible they don't use an app.
And as expected, the Senate acquitted President Trump yesterday, but there was one surprise.
Mr. Romney, guilty.
Plus, China will cut tariffs on $75 billion worth of U.S. imports. This is What's News from The Wall Street Journal. I'm Kim Gittleson. Let's get started. Now, before we take a closer look at Nevada's efforts to avoid repeating Iowa's mistakes, here's what you missed. The Senate voted to acquit President Trump on both articles of impeachment yesterday. While the vote was largely along party lines and expected, there was one surprise. Republican Senator Mitt Romney voted in favor of the first article of impeachment, abuse of power.
I take an oath before God as enormously consequential. I knew from the outset that being tasked with judging the president, the leader of my own party, would be the most difficult decision I have ever faced.
Politics reporter Siobhan Hughes says his vote was historic.
He became the first senator in U.S. history to vote to convict a president of his own party. In the trials of Andrew Johnson and Bill Clinton, Democratic presidents, no Democratic senators voted to convict.
President Trump will hold a press conference at noon today to discuss his acquittal. Desperate for a cure. Chinese families are flocking online to buy unproven experimental treatments for the new coronavirus. One of the most sought-after ones is Keletra. It's an antiretroviral drug for HIV that had been previously used to help treat SARS. But health officials caution that so far no antiretroviral drugs have been found to be effective. The World Health Organization yesterday reported the largest single-day rise in new coronavirus cases. More than 560 people have died from the virus. Bernie Madoff says that he's dying and wants to be released from jail. His lawyer says he has chronic kidney failure and just 18 months to live. The architect of one of the biggest financial frauds in U.S. history has so far served a decade of his 150-year jail sentence. Now, our main story. Results from Iowa's caucuses are continuing to trickle in. With 97% of precincts reporting, Pete Buttigieg holds a razor-thin lead over Bernie Sanders in terms of delegates. Sanders holds a slight lead in terms of overall votes. Elizabeth Warren is in third place, followed by Joe Biden and then Amy Klobuchar. Attention now turns to New Hampshire, which votes on Tuesday, and then Nevada's caucus. Organizers there are under pressure to avoid the problems that derailed Iowa's results. Our Charlie Turner has been speaking with reporter Emily Glazer to find out more.
Emily, what plans does the Nevada Democratic Party have to ensure that its caucuses run more smoothly?
Well, for one, the Nevada State Democratic Party is not using the same firm that developed the app that caused all of the Iowa troubles. And that was built by a firm called Shadow. Nevada, the State Democratic Party, was planning to use that firm for a bespoke app for its caucuses that start on February 22nd and early voting a few days before then. But it said Tuesday that it would not be using Shadow as a vendor, would not be using that app, and that it had some backup plans and contingencies that it would use to do something different moving forward.
Well, such as paper ballots, phone?
What a great question. The answer is we don't know yet. I spoke with Molly Forgy, who is a spokeswoman for the Nevada State Democratic Party. And earlier on Wednesday, she basically said everything is on the table. They're working as fast as they can to figure out what backup plans are the best options. And she specifically said, quote, you know we need to get it right. Our timeline is ASAP. So we'll find out soon.
Is Nevada less likely to use any sort of app after what happened in Iowa? You know, 2 weeks is not enough time to test new technology, I imagine.
Certainly. And security experts are saying that would definitely not be enough time to put any new solution in place, especially an app, given this compressed timeline, and since it would really increase the risk of error. When I spoke with the spokeswoman, she basically said everything's on the table and it is possible they don't use an app. In the past, the Nevada State Democratic Party and its caucuses had used phone-based solutions. And basically, this is all about getting the information from the local precincts. That's where these different caucuses are happening, to the Nevada State Democratic Party and how they transmit that information of the results. So again, in the past, they've used phones. It's possible they go in that direction this time, but we just don't know for sure yet.
I imagine the pressure is really on the Democratic Party. You know, Nevada's it's a bigger state and it's more diverse.
Absolutely. Nevada is the first, state with a real diverse population. It's the first state in the West. It's the third nominating contest. But a lot of folks look to it because it's more representative of the country. And Nevada is under a lot of pressure by the Democratic Party, by the presidential campaigns, by election security experts to make sure that its caucuses go off without a problem.
You can find all of our Election 2020 coverage up on WSJ.com. On to markets. China said it would cut tariffs on $75 billion worth of U.S. imports, sending Asian markets soaring. Japan's Nikkei closed up over 2%, and shares in Hong Kong and Shanghai were also higher. Markets in Europe also rose in early trading. Markets reporter Caitlin Ostroff has more.
So the markets had a rough couple of days with news of the coronavirus and concerns that might impact the Chinese economy, but also the global economy. And so markets have really been looking for something as a sign of hope. And they've found that in the tariffs being pulled back on U.S. goods to China. So it's proof that, China is willing to keep going with the phase one agreement that it struck with the U.S., that it's going to keep trying to keep the environment a little bit more favorable, and that this big headwind that we've had for the last 2 years might starting to fade. And so if the coronavirus doesn't get worse, or if the market continues to expect that, maybe the impact from that won't be quite as bad, this is just another thing to really show, long term, it looks like it might be smooth sailing from here.
And here's what else we're paying attention to today. A sleepy reception for mattress startup Casper. It was once one of Silicon Valley's unicorns, valued privately at more than $1 billion. But yesterday, the company slashed its IPO target due to weak investor interest. It priced its shares at $12 per share, giving the company a value of roughly $476 million. It will start trading on the New York Stock Exchange later today. Speaking of unprofitable startups, Uber is set to report its earnings after markets close. Shares in the ride-hailing company are still trading below their IPO price. Finally,
I'm Spartacus!
I'm Spartacus!
Legendary actor Kirk Douglas has died at the age of 103. During Hollywood's golden age, he played boxers, reporters, detectives, soldiers, Vincent Van Gogh, Doc Holliday, and, as you heard there, the gladiator and slave leader Spartacus. That movie was also significant because, as its executive producer, Douglas insisted on giving on-screen credit to the writer, who was blacklisted during the McCarthy era. Douglas is survived by his wife of over 65 years and his two children, Joel and the actor Michael Douglas. That's what's news from The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.